C4. The Matrix of Science and Health. An Overview. Number 1A.
Now, first an introduction. The subject of this week's work is the structure of the Christian Science textbook. And we investigate this structure on the basis of our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scripture, by Mary Baker Eddy, and do it in conjunction with my book, The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook, Our Way of Life, which I have written about 20 years ago. But that book was not really fully understood all these years. And the reason for it may be twofold. The one reason is that the students are not well aware of the necessity for spiritually scientific text interpretation. And second, because that book can only be properly understood through a structural consciousness. So at least those two factors, text interpretation and structure and structuralism, must be seen properly before really the structure of the textbook can be properly understood. That's the reason why. Last year I have given various classes on text interpretation in order to help the student to be able to interpret a text spiritually, scientifically, and not just inspirationally, which is not science. And second, 2 years ago, we have had a seminar on structure, structuralism, and the laws within the structure of the chart. And that seminar in 1973, which is taped, is, I think, the acme of my teaching up to now. And therefore, those subjects on structure and structuralism are dealt with there. So I only will put some or accentuate some of the main points about structuralism during this week. As a preparatory work, I have asked you to study Science and Health in conjunction with my book and see if on the ground of structuralism and second on structural text interpretation, you would be able to see, according to my structure book, where the text breaks, where the subjects of mind breaks and the subject of spirit starts, and where spirit breaks and the subject of soul starts, etc. Because in my structure book, I did give no reference as to the breaks, and that was intentionally. I wanted the student to find out for himself by reading the textbook if he has now spiritual sense and scientific sense enough to see, with that help of my structure book, to see if he can mark those breaks where the subjects are changing. I don't know how much you have done that, but no matter how much you have succeeded or not, it does not interfere with this week's work, though naturally we would feel blessed and rewarded if somehow you have devoted some time to that question. The textbook is fundamentally, as its teaching, a matrix of 4x4. The 16 chapters present the whole subject of Christian Science in a matrix form. The matrix of the four, namely the matrix of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, whereby I must again refer to matrix work as we have been doing it last year. We spent the whole week on matrix. And so I'm not going to repeat what I've been teaching last year, and I base myself on that teaching so that I'm not again going to explain what a matrix implies. We have seen last year that matrix and matrices are a very useful means and method to understand the comprehensive sense of a subject. And we have seen that there are many matrices according to the accentuation of the matrix. We have seen that even the 4x4 matrix can be restructured into other matrices. We have considered the word matrix, the Christ matrix, the Christianity matrix, and the Christian Science matrix. And while we were doing the Christian Science matrix from the 16th chapter of the textbook, we have seen that the index I is absolute Christian Science and the index J is Christian Science. We have only spent, I think, about half an hour or so on the matrix of the Christian Science textbook, which is the Christian Science matrix. And so this week we want to focus our attention on this matrix, whereby, as I have said, we can see that in that matrix, the index I, as absolute Christian Science, presenting the word Christ, Christianity, and Science, is combined with word Christ, Christianity, and Science in Christian Science as the index J. And therefore, by the point of intersection of these categories, we have seen that we can compute, so to say, every chapter of the textbook. And this will be our main object this week, to go into this question in more detail. The presentation of the Christian Science textbook as a matrix and not as a reading book where we read sentence by sentence, but where we have a structural sense of the textbook, therefore more a gestalt sense of the textbook, that looking at this way, we can see that this textbook will yield to us much more than if we read it in that atomistic way that it is being read usually. I have taken the subject of the textbook as a matrix for this year because one begins to realize more and more really that structure, that matrix of the textbook is so fundamental to one's understanding that actually if one has a good grasp of the matrix of the Christian Science textbook, which is the Christian Science matrix, that if one has a good grasp of that one has sought to find really that chart of life which helps us at any moment in any problem really to see where one is, where the problem lies, and how it is related to the whole, and therefore how it can be best resolved and tackled. Therefore, we feel that if one could cultivate those 16 standpoints more and more clearly and more clearly and more clearly, so that it is engraved, so to say, within our consciousness, that then actually finally our consciousness is no more thinking atomistically or linearly, but that our whole consciousness begins to react on every problem in a structural way. And the structural contemplation of a problem today, any science tells you that, every art tells you that, is a much more practical way, a much more powerful way, a much more rational method than any other approach. So, like the days of creation, we really should see that we get a working consciousness, structural consciousness of these 16 standpoints, so that the matrix of the textbook, like the days of creation, should really be engraved in our heart with the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel, as she says of the days of creation. The same thing is true for the matrix. I feel very sure that in the measure as a student gets hold of the structural consciousness, and no more of the linear or atomistic consciousness, but gets hold of a structural consciousness, that things become 10 times easier, if not 100 times easier, but also 100 times more powerful, more practical, and therefore more satisfactory. After all, we know that the Christian Science textbook presents the whole teaching of Christian Science. The other books that were written by Mrs. Eddy are useful books, but never attain the standard of the textbook, because in the textbook we really have the system and the structure of her teaching. So if we give enough time and enough earnest investigation to the textbook, we really get to the core of scientific understanding. So much about an introduction. From time to time I tell you when I take up a new subject, so that if when you make notes you know that there is another point that I take up. I take up another point, namely the various methods of investigating the big subject of the infinite one. We know that the central subject of what we are interested is the infinite one. But that subject is common to every religion, is the common subject for any seeker of truth, is the common subject of all the modern or the high religions that we know. So the subject that we contemplate is not unique to us. What is unique must be the method of how we approach that infinite subject, the infinite one. Because according to method, we either arrive at the aim or not. Or we arrive at that aim quicker, more economical, or we arrive in a very burdensome way, or not arrive at all. So I just make three categories. They are not the only ones, but I think in the main we can see three different methods that are being used in order to investigate the infinite one. The first one I would call the metaphysical method. That metaphysical method that started right back with Plato, namely to investigate reality by seeing that behind the material universe are always ideas of reality, and that there is an ideational realm of reality. Since Plato, this metaphysical approach has been used by many lines of thought, by many philosophers, by many groups of metaphysicians and religion and so on, also by Christian Science and Christian scientists. What is that method? That method is to contemplate the ideas that lie behind the various material manifestation and phenomena. Therefore, it is a constant inquest and inquiry into asking what is the reality about the shadow world, the material phenomena. What are the ideas of eternity that are ruling behind the world of appearance, the world of shadow, as Plato already called it, the world of matter, as we may call it today? So it is an activity whereby one is engaged in constantly asking what are the ideas of reality behind the phenomena that we are seeing. It is therefore gathering knowledge of single facts. It's atomistic in its very nature. It's an atomistic approach where we heap facts upon facts. We gather facts, and the more we study and the more we investigate, we get another idea, and here we see another idea, and so step by step we heap facts upon facts in order to make a great heap, and think that in this way we somehow will attain the aim. We experience this as a great burden, because it is a burdensome task constantly to reach out for new ideas, constantly to ask oneself what is the idea behind a counterfeit, and somehow we never arrive. Why can't we arrive at the consciousness of the Infinite One through the method of metaphysics, of the atomistic thinking? It is very simple, because the whole is bigger than the sum total of its parts. So gathering parts, no matter how many parts we gather, we will never arrive at the whole, because the whole is bigger than the sum of its parts. Namely, the whole is the parts plus the relationship between the parts. But metaphysics only investigates the reality, the substantial reality. It's a substantialistic approach to what is real, and is lacking the structural concept, the relational concept. So this way will not get us very far. A second way is the mystical way. The mystic does exactly the opposite than the metaphysical atomistic seeker. The mystics go out from the mystical union with the whole. So he goes out from the whole and only acknowledges the whole that can never be split up in parts. So the mystics is never interested in the parts, he's always interested in the whole, in the Infinite One, and therefore in the wholeness, the unity, the oneness of being. That is his subject. He knows that within the whole, all things hinge together, and so he feels, if I take the whole and have a union with the whole, then all the parts are included, which theoretically is right. That's absolutely right, theoretically. He knows that all comes from one source and is included within the all-inclusiveness of the one infinite. And so for him, fundamentally, everything is all one big harmony. This approach is the religious approach, just as it is the mystical approach, because religion fundamentally is mystics. Because the religious approach of the higher religion goes out from the fact that God is all, that God is the whole, that there is one God, that God is one. This is the old call of the Old Testament. There is only one God. And so that's the religious standpoint and the religious theorem, that God is all, and if God is all, what do you want more than that? So the religionists and the mystics unite in the same feeling about wanting to be one with the infinite whole and stay there and just always go out from the whole. The mystic is not interested in the parts. He does not analyze the whole and ask what are the parts. He would feel that this is breaking up the whole, and therefore would go right against the mystical concept, the mystical union with the whole. A third way or method is the scientific way. The scientific way, that is the newest way, it only started about 2,500 years ago, whereas the other were much older. And even in the scientific way, we must be clear what we mean about the scientific way. Science and scientific are just terms, and they do not mean anything unless we define those terms. So just saying, I approach the subject scientifically, doesn't yet say what kind of science is used thereby. If it's a very old concept of science or a new sense of science. Science is not just a term that has its identity and has its definition and is no more changing its definition. Science is a term that changes its definition practically now from year to year, and therefore we have to see what kind of science or scientific method we mean when we talk about Christian science to be a science. When we talk about our scientific approach, we have to be very clear what we mean by this term. The scientific method tries to unite both the other methods, namely the methods of the atomistic approach, the metaphysical approach, and tries to combine that with the mystical approach, the approach of the whole. But that endeavor of science to bring about a unity and the intelligent unity of the whole and the parts is something that has not yet been achieved properly. It's still a great question today in the philosophy of science, how to bring together really the concept of the whole that cannot be put into parts and the concept of investigating the parts without losing the sense of the whole. This is a terrific question, and science started out first by deducing from the whole and investigating through analysis the parts. Therefore, science was mostly interested and engaged in the method of analysis, analyzing the whole, whatever that whole was, analyzing that whole by splitting that whole up and splitting it and splitting it in order to arrive at the final unit of the subject, whatever that subject is. And therefore, the specialization that has taken place in the various sciences, you have got all those specialists that were considering just a little tiny part of a subject, losing sight that that part is a part of the whole. And today, more and more, one began to realize that this is an incomplete method, that analysis is necessary, but that we are not allowed to stop at analysis, that when we have analyzed a subject, that something else is necessary, namely the integration again of that part into the whole, to bring it back to the whole and see its reason, see its message, its purpose, its nature within the whole. So today, science tries to see how the whole and the part are related to each other. Can you see? The mystic was interested in the whole. The metaphysician is interested in the part, in single ideas. The modern scientist is interested in both as integrated into one. And naturally, that integration into one needs an analysis of the whole into parts, but it also needs an analysis of how the parts are related to the whole, therefore an investigation into relationship within or among the parts and the relationship between the parts and the whole. And this is fundamentally the consciousness of Christian science. If we can arrive at that consciousness and culture that more and more and more, we can see that we get a better understanding of the infinite subject. Therefore, in relation to the textbook, you can see at once what we try to do, that we try to take the textbook as a whole and always leave it as a whole, but analyze that whole to see what the parts of the whole mean. That's the classical sense of science. But now we have to go a step further and then see how these parts are related to all other parts and are related to the whole. Therefore, how each chapter as an analyzed part of the whole is related to the whole textbook, how each paragraph within a chapter is related to the chapter, is related to the other paragraphs, how that paragraph within the relationship within the chapter is related to the whole of the textbook, so that finally we always begin to see that every sentence or every statement must always be considered as a statement, not per se, but as a statement in relationship to the whole. So we will reason in the scientific way from the Infinite One, by deduction arrive from the Infinite One at the infinite ideas, the infinitely diversified statements of the textbook. Then later on we'll see how these diversified and individualized statements of the textbook have only meaning when they are seen in relation to the whole textbook, and not when they are considered just as single ideas.